Hey everybody, Rob Mauer here. Happy Friday. Today we are talking about some very exciting updates for the Tesla Semi. Tesla's updated the webpage, updated a few specs. We'll talk about what those mean and some of the implications. We've also got a fair amount of macro news, some news on Giga Berlin, and a few other items as well. First things first, though, you can see I don't have the stock up here. I've actually got the Tesla Daily Apple Podcast page. The reason I've got this up is because tomorrow is actually a pretty important milestone for the podcast. Some of you may remember, as I've had a few of these anniversary episodes by now, tomorrow is actually the 5-year anniversary of Tesla Daily. So as I scroll through all these episodes here, all the way back to day one, you can see here August 20th, 2017, Model 3 delivery event recap and getting to know Tesla Daily. So I just wanted to pass along. I'm excited about that milestone. I never really thought that Tesla Daily would really make it this long. It's been a long journey. It's been a fun journey. As I was scrolling through these, I noticed just a couple of episodes that stuck out to me as I was scrolling through. Back here in September of 2017, talking about understanding short selling and its impact on Tesla. how true that came to be. All the stuff that we had talked about back at that point in time with short selling and the eventual short squeeze that we saw. There's also an interview here with Dave Lee back around that same time. Actually, the first interview on the podcast, there was one here in 2017 with Lex Fridman. I don't know if many people know that he was actually on the podcast before, but just kind of fun to look back at all that history and reflect on it a little bit. It's been a long journey, like I said, a fun journey, and I just really wanted to say thank you for all the support during this period of time or over these years. Couldn't have done it without you guys. Hopefully that's been a mutually beneficial relationship between us all. I definitely think that has been the case, and I just want to say a special thank you to everyone that has supported on Patreon. As I've said quite a few times, I wouldn't be doing this still if it wasn't for that support. That's allowed me to keep the audio podcast ad free. I've never had an ad in the audio podcast, which, that's pretty rare. It's probably not the best financial decision for me, but, it's been something that's important to me. So, I just want to say a huge thank you for that. Thank you to everyone that's, stepped up this year and supported with ShareLoft too. That really does mean a lot for me. I'm trying to do some cool stuff here, and I can't do it without that support. So just want to say a huge thank you. I don't want to dwell on it, but it's a big milestone, so I wanted to recognize that. All right, let's get into the Tesla news then today. So Tesla on the day trading down about 2%, closing at $890 on the dot. We did have a lot of options expirations today, so that probably playing a role in that even closing price there. But the NASDAQ was also down 2% on the day, so overall not a bad performance given Tesla's beta. A couple things here to just be aware of in terms of the macro environment. So one of the reasons the stock or the markets overall were down today, most likely due to comments from James Bullard, St. Louis Fed president, saying that, he would be interested in raising rates by 75 basis points in September, saying that policymakers shouldn't be dragging that out. He usually comes out and has those more hawkish stances, so probably not too surprising. I think the Fed probably in general wants to keep, expectations somewhere in between 50 and 75 so that they have the option to kind of do either as we get more data here over the next few months or over the next month or so. And then one other thing that kind of came out that was a little bit alarming today was the Germany producer price index. Usually we're talking about US, but Germany producer price index came in 37% above last year. You can see how this has risen. Obviously a lot of this driven by energy prices as we have talked about. But one thing here that is noteworthy was the month over month change. It's actually up 5% month over month. So usually we're talking, a percent or two, even during these really, really high inflation periods. You can see the chart here, how it's come in. We have seen some spikes like this, but the forecast was only 0.6%. So significantly higher than forecast. I don't follow that closely enough to really understand what drove that, but probably energy related, but obviously that, a little bit potentially concerning for the overall markets today, even though, we're talking Germany there. As we look ahead to next week, a couple of things to kind of keep an eye on here. I guess we'll go through the more of the macro stuff first and then talk Tesla, but I've got my stuff a little out of order. As we look towards next week, a couple things to keep an eye on. We got the GDP release on for Q2 on Thursday. That's not super important. It's important, but this is the second release. So there are three instances of the release, the preliminary couple of reports, then they revise it, and then we get the final one. So this is just the secondary revision of the GDP. So there shouldn't be too much of new information. We've also got core PCE on Friday, So that'll be a, you know, kind of a measure of where inflation is at for the US. And then we will have the Fed symposium at Jackson Hole next week as well. That's through the 25th through the 27th. So I would say this is kind of taking the place of when we would normally have a Fed meeting. There'll definitely be, you know, a lot of commentary on that throughout next week, even though it's not necessarily visible in a lot of economic calendars. So something to keep an eye out there. And then from a Tesla perspective, as we had talked about probably a month or so ago, I don't think we'll get a lot of news out of this, but Tesla next week will be presenting at the Hot Chips Conference. So they've got a few keynote speakers here, including Ganesh, who presented at the original AI Day last year. So we've got a couple of presentations on Project Dojo. And then, as I mentioned, that keynote from Ganesh, which I believe is on Tuesday. So again, I don't know that we'll hear anything coming out of those, but maybe something to keep an eye on. Hopefully we'll get a couple little tidbits of information out of it. But that's kind of, you know, on the Tesla radar for next week. And then even before that, as we head into tomorrow, Elon did reiterate last night that it looks like FSD beta is on track to release tomorrow. But it sounds like it'll be a limited release at first, saying to about 1,000 Tesla owners. I would presume that, that includes some people outside of Tesla, you know, beyond just employees, but that could just be employees. I guess we'll find out tomorrow. And then releasing 10.69.1 next week to accommodate feedback, and then 10.69.2 a week after, and release to the rest of FSD beta. So release to the rest of FSD beta, a little bit unclear if that means a wide release. I think if that it did, Elon probably would have specified that. So I would imagine that that is just, you know, talking about the current set of FSD beta users. So we'll see on that. Unfortunately, I don't think I'm going to be able to do a video on that tomorrow if I do end up getting it. We'll see. I had some unexpected things come up this weekend that I've got to be traveling for. So unfortunately, you know, I'll do my best, but may have to wait a little bit from that. But, you know, plenty of other FSD beta testers out there. Definitely recommend checking out Chuck Cook's channel. He has been watching Tesla's ADAS team testing out his left-hand turn. I don't even want to show it because he does a great job of recapping it. So just go to his channel and check that out. But Tesla is definitely making a lot of progress on that turn, and it's exciting to see. Obviously, just one thing, but a very difficult thing that Tesla is working on there. So let's get into the Tesla Semi. Tesla last night updating the Tesla Semi webpage. As we know, Elon has said that they expect to be delivering the 500-mile range version later this year. That little Instagram video leaked out ahead of this update to the website. Now we can see why Tesla took that down. They wanted to wait until this page was updated. So a lot of different updates here. You know, the core of the Tesla Semi is still the same, still going to offer a 300-mile range version and a 500-mile range version. Tesla is saying that it's going to go 0 to 60 in 20 seconds with a full 82,000-pound gross combination weight. So same specs as we had before. They're still saying less than 2 kilowatt hours used per mile. So we're going to do some math on that in a second. I promise it'll be fun and easy math. Don't worry about that. But Tesla did make a change here. They say that there are now 3 independent motors. Previously, this was 4 motors. So Tesla actually finding a way to, you know, get presumably all the same specs that they had achieved before with just 3 motors. So that would match, you know, what we see in the Plaid as well. Not necessarily those motors, but motor setup. And then we do have here Tesla talking about, let me find it, the rate of charge. So this is new information. We haven't heard this as of yet, but Tesla saying that you could recover up to 70% of range in 30 minutes using Tesla's Semi chargers. Previously, these have been known as Tesla's Mega chargers, so they must have updated the names on these a little bit, but using Tesla's Semi chargers, which we can see kind of as we have seen before, kind of in use here. So we'll talk a little bit more about that in a second, but just to get through the rest of the page, Tesla talks about the fuel savings that one could expect versus a diesel semi-truck. They say that operators can see an estimated fuel savings of up to $200,000 within their first 3 years of ownership. So, you know, $65,000, $66,000 a year there, just in savings from electricity versus diesel fuel. So I know we all talk about, you know, the Roadster a lot. It's a very exciting product, and that was kind of meant to be the real smackdown on internal combustion engine vehicles. But I think the real smackdown on internal combustion engine vehicles is really the Tesla Semi. I mean, what Tesla is able to presumably accomplish here, you know, shipping seems to be imminent. All the specs that we're seeing here, the viability of this product, the, you know, total cost of ownership, the economic utility that this has versus a gas-powered semi-truck is, you know, it's almost not comparable, right? Like, there are very, very few use cases where it's going to make sense to, you know, be paying so much more to operate on diesel versus using Tesla semis. The only question with this product is production, right? And how quickly Tesla can get that ramped up. And then what we've seen Tesla do here is also remove pricing. So that they used to have, you could used to come, be able to come on the page and reserve the Tesla Semi. Now you can't. There's only this little, Git updates thing, and Tesla has removed the pricing, which previously I think was $150,000 to $180,000, depending on the version. So personally, I hope Tesla's increased the price on that a lot, especially because there is a tax credit now built into the Inflation Reduction Act for heavy vehicles. Gross vehicle weight's over 14,000 pounds. Obviously, the Semi fits into that category. And I think, I can't remember exactly, but it's a significant percent that could cut, tens of thousands of dollars off this price, in addition to all these fuel savings that we're talking about. So this is an extremely compelling vehicle. And Tesla should not be selling it for $150,000 or $180,000 because, the wait list for a product like that, the economic utility that a product like that has, really should be kind of infinite at that price. So we'll see what Tesla does there. But either, whatever the price is, it's going to be very compelling. All right, let's talk a little bit more about their range, because I wanted to do, or the charging, because I wanted to do a little bit of the math on that. So if we go back to the top of the page here, Tesla says less than 2 kilowatt hours per mile consumed, 500 mile range estimate. So we know that there's less than 1,000 kilowatt hours in this vehicle, based on those two numbers. So let's just say it's 950 kilowatt hour pack. Maybe it's a little bit less than that. If it is, that would just mean really good things for the efficiency of the vehicle. So we'll be, quote unquote, conservative here and say it's 950 kilowatt hours or in that ballpark. If Tesla is able to charge that 70% in 30 minutes, that means they're getting 665 kilowatt hours roughly of energy in that period of time. To do that, Tesla would need to be charging at a rate, an average rate over that 30 minutes of 1.3 megawatts. So it'd be 1300 kilowatts. That's about more than five times the charge rate of a version 3 supercharger at peak. At peak, the 250 kilowatt peak that we see from the vehicles on the road today. So that's an extreme amount of power that Tesla would be putting into these vehicles, and they're doing it in a very efficient way here. This doesn't look too different than a supercharging cable. This, person in this video was very, very able to easily manage this cable. Gets out, I think he does it even one-handed. I guess he's got two hands on there, but probably could do this one-handed, and delivering that kind of power is just truly mind-blowing. And that's the average, right? Like I would imagine that the peak on this would actually be somewhere. I wouldn't be surprised if the peak rate on the, Tesla Semi charger is above 2 megawatts. So it's really crazy, and it looks like Tesla's implementation is, in true Tesla fashion, very well done here with the Semi chargers. So I can go on and on about this, but I'm extremely excited about the Tesla Semi, extremely excited to get this delivered, and extremely excited to see it, really deliver the smackdown on gas engines, because I think that's what it's going to do. All right, before we move on, I meant to show these earlier, but just a couple of really nice photos too, of the new version, that we have seen. But it's exciting to see Tesla launch the press kit on this. Oh, and then one thing I did want to point out here. So this is the new interior. Looks pretty similar to what we had seen before. I'll highlight a couple of things on here. We can see that Tesla's adopted the, not the yoke, but a couple of the elements from the plaid steering wheel. So it's got the, doesn't look like there's any stocks here. Tesla's using the, click blinkers that we see on the plaid. And otherwise, you can kind of see that the, oh, too small there. Let me zoom in here. You can kind of see a little bit of the UI on the screen. So we haven't really seen this before. But you can see the UI here is very similar to what we'd see in any other Tesla vehicle. You got the little Tesla Semi down there to pull up the vehicle's menu. Temperature control, all the apps along the bottom, volume, just like we'd see in any other car. The Semi does have side view mirrors, but you can see that the for both of the two screens here, it looks like there's a constant display of what the side cameras are showing. And then you can see, kind of this setup like Tesla would have. Frunk open and close. It looks like that is going to be, I presume, fully automated. At least the opening part you could do on the screen here. Looks like they've got the deck lights on and off up there, side storage to open and close, and the charge port. And then you can see the primary PSI. I presume that's for the tires, and then secondary PSI. So that'd probably be for the trailer. And then trailer air supply, parking brake, which are down over here. And I think those are the kind of the main things with this vehicle, or with the interface here and the interior in terms of what we had seen before. So kind of cool to see that, but looks like very consistent with Tesla's current UI and their other vehicles. All right, let's move on to the Giga Berlin news. So Drive Tesla Canada today reporting that Giga Berlin, Tesla is planning to add a third shift in December of 2022. So we've heard mixed rumors about this throughout the year. There was one report that we had that said that was going to happen as early as July. Obviously, that did not end up happening. Looks like Tesla, according to this rumor, which again, not necessarily correct, but according to this, looks like they're targeting December of 2022. We did have some support for this report from Alex Voigt on Twitter. Often has good information coming out of Germany. He is saying that Jörg Steinbach, economic minister there in Germany, has also said that by the end of the year, there will be three shifts. So it looks like that would support that, not necessarily exactly in December, but probably the most likely option there. So hopefully Tesla's able to hit that. That would definitely assist them significantly in their goal of hitting 5,000 vehicles per week at Giga Berlin by the end of the year. All right, last couple of things here. So we've got an update on, a little bit of an update here, not necessarily, but an update from Indonesian president on just kind of the discussions that, Tesla and Indonesia are having. He had said that, quote, "What we want is the electric car, not the battery for Tesla. We want them to build electric cars in Indonesia. We want a huge ecosystem of electric cars," end quote. So consistent with what we have heard him emphasizing this entire time. Obviously, this is part of the back and forth that seems to be happening with Indonesia and Tesla. We'd had that report that Tesla had, I don't know if it was signed a contract or, taken steps in that direction for $5 billion worth of nickel from Indonesia, but definitely still ongoing discussions about what exactly that partnership ends up looking like. And Indonesia definitely still pushing for the cars themselves, which, to their credit, that's definitely a smart move. Definitely what they should be pushing for, as they do have a lot of leverage with their nickel supplies in Indonesia. We do have an update here. We've talked about this before, so this was very widely expected, but China has now officially extended the purchase tax exemption on new energy vehicles, which of course would include electric vehicles, through the end of next year. That was set to expire at the end of this year. So that has now been officially updated. There are other electric vehicle incentives. This is a tax exemption. So if you go on Tesla's Design Studio, you can see both the actual, more of a rebate type of structure, and then this would be the tax exemption. So two facets of it. This would be talking about the tax exemption. Like I said, though, this was widely expected. Still good to have it be official. And then we do have a little bit of an update here from Lucid. Sorry, don't mean to chuckle at it, but they are introducing the Lucid Air Sapphire. So this is, I guess, intended to be even more of a Model S Plaid competitor. They say that this can do 0-60 in under 2 seconds. But they don't call it the fastest electric vehicle that I've seen. So it must still be like slightly behind the Model S Plaid. They say that production on this is going to begin in the first half of 2023. I'm going to come back to that quote in a second. But it's going to cost $250,000 US. And they note that all future vehicles that they have will have a Sapphire version. So this is kind of like their, Plaid terminology, I guess, for them, the Sapphire trim level. So the quote that I highlighted here was from Peter Olson, their CEO. He said, "After painstaking development work, I'm able to confirm Lucid Air Sapphire has achieved a satisfactory performance." So I highlighted that because it's just kind of, the question that I would have about this product is, why are you spending significant development efforts on this at this point in time? I mean, Lucid made less than 700 vehicles last quarter. I don't see the purpose at this point of trying to build a 250,000 limited quantity vehicle, which they mentioned this is going to be a limited quantity. I can't imagine they're going to sell more than like 1,000 of these a year. So it's pretty small scale. I guess it helps their brand a little bit, but I'm kind of confused about their brand. I don't know if they're trying to be like an electric Ferrari or trying to be like an electric Mercedes-Benz or both, or trying to be Tesla. It's confusing, and it just doesn't seem to be a lot of focus in the right areas. I mean, if you think about Tesla, when they were ramping up Model 3, they were pulling people from like solar to work on the production lines and things like that. You know, Elon has talked a lot about this. Lucid definitely, you know, putting work into other areas that don't seem to be very important, don't seem to really move the company forward. So, you know, it looks like a cool car, but probably not going to move the needle a whole lot from a business perspective, like getting production up would do. And then lastly for today, GM has announced some updates to their return of capital plans to shareholders. They've reinstated their dividend at 9 cents per share. It's actually a little bit lower than what it has been historically. This was what it was when they took it away last year, or wait, I don't know, confused about that date, but I guess it's not what it was. But it used to be 38 cents per share. Now it's 9 cents per share, which I actually don't fault them for because they probably shouldn't be returning capital at this point anyway. And then they have also increased their quote unquote capacity for their share buyback program. So they're not saying they're actually going to buy back stock here, but they're saying they have the capacity to buy back up to $5 billion of stock. So a little bit confusing in terms of their update there. But you know, they may do share buybacks in the future. I could think of better ways for GM to spend their capital, but apparently they cannot. So we'll see how that works out for them. All right, that is it for today. Again, just want to say thank you for, you know, 5 years of Tesla Daily. It's been a wild ride, but I appreciate it. And we'll see you all again on Monday for the August 22nd episode of Tesla Daily. And again, I do appreciate the support. So any more of that, I'm going to try to put it to good use. Make sure that doesn't go to waste. So you can sign up on Patreon at patreon.com/Tesla Daily Podcast. And you can check out ShareLoft at shareloft.com. All right, we'll see you all on Monday. Thank you.